Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez from Good to Be Social. And today we're going to be talking about intent data. We're going to talk about what is intent data, the landscape around intent data, and how it can benefit a law firm, specifically their account-based marketing and business development. Our guest today is Ryan Klekas. Ryan is the director of partnerships at a company called Bombora. Ryan works with Bombora's most strategic partners to ensure both they and their clients clearly understand how to use and achieve success with Bombora's industry-leading intent data. Welcome to the show, Ryan.
Hey, Guy. Thanks so much for having me on. Excited to be here.
Well, I am very happy for you to be here. You and I have been talking and collaborating for some time now. And, you know, I thought it was the perfect time now that we're starting to move into the fall to talk a little bit about intent data and how law firms can leverage intent data to enhance their digital marketing strategies and their campaigns. Before we get started though, Ryan, tell us a little bit more about yourself. How did you get involved at Bombora and intent data?
Oh, absolutely. So I've been with the company now for kind of going on 5 years. And I actually got introduced to it. One of our initial founders, who's no longer with the company, Rob Armstrong. I know Rob really well. He was kind of on the product side. I mean, just through different connections here. I live in Reno, and that at the time was where Rob was at as well. He was kind of telling me about everything they were doing. I got lucky enough to get an interview when the company was still fairly small. I got hired. I started on the audience solution side of the business. Today, I think we're going to talk a little bit more about intent, how it applies to what we refer to as company search. But I started on kind of the digital side of what Bombora offers, and I've just been with the company ever since, kind of merged into the partnership world. And yeah, I've just been kind of plugging along ever since.
Awesome. All right. So why don't you explain to our audience what exactly is intent data and why is it so popular when it comes to B2B businesses?
Yeah. So intent data tells you when buyers and organization are actively researching online for a solution. And then the products and services they are interested in based on the web content they consume. Marketing and sales leaders that use intent data have an advantage by understanding which prospects are ready to buy and can avoid wasting time and money on those that are not. For, you know, B2B specifically, I think that companies are really kind of, I think intent is really big in the B2B space because in a lot of ways, it's kind of just like the doubling down of the whole concept around ABM in general. So ABM, at least in my opinion, is kind of this realization, right, that not every single company wants to buy what it is you're selling, right? There's really just like a predefined universe of companies that are probably going to be your customer. And once you accept that, that's really what ABM is. And intent is just kind of, again, the doubling down of that. So it's saying, okay, now that I understand that there's just like a universe, a profile of companies that fit my solutions, now within that universe, there's probably only a smaller subset that actually wants to buy something from me right now, right? Not everybody's always going to be looking to buy what I offer at all times. And intent helps you figure out even that smaller subset of your ABM universe that actually wants to buy from you now. So you're being as efficient as possible with, you know, your resources around sales, outreach, marketing, advertising, all of those things.
That's so interesting. So how do people show intent? How does people, you know, what are the activities that they do? Is it, you know, searching on a search engine or does it go beyond, you know, that type of activity?
You know, the way we think about it at Bombora is it's really happening by committee, right? And when we try and capture intent the way that we do it is we're trying to capture at an organizational level, right? Specifically, again, for B2B. I think that we can both agree that in the B2B landscape, you know, people purchasing B2B type technologies, whether it be a CRM, whether it be some type of an advertising solution, they're largely expensive solutions. And this isn't something that one person is kind of making a decision on. It usually involves like a group of people doing the research to figure out, you know, what is going to be best for their organization. And in doing this, they're doing a number of things, which, you know, something you just mentioned, you know, doing a web search, reading articles, signing up for webinars. You know, there's a lot of activity that's transpiring online that kind of plays a part of the research cycle. And Bombora, through the way that we actually capture intent and we capture the data, we're able to kind of see all of these viewpoints together, and we're able to kind of put them all into one kind of bucket to tell a broader story of the buyer journey, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So one of the questions that I get asked a lot by law firms that are looking into intent data is, what kind of websites does Bambora work with? You know, obviously, I know you guys work with websites like law.com and other business related websites, but talk a little bit more about the network of sites that you guys work with, and, you know, why is Bambora different? You know, the partnership structure you have with these sites.
Definitely, that's a really great question. I think this really comes down to the heart of why intent isn't necessarily the same across the board, right? So intent data, while there's a lot of versions out there kind of in the market, once you actually kind of look under the hood, I would say, you actually start finding out that the way in which intent is collected and then it is dispersed to kind of draw those insights is very different. So Bambora specifically, right, we get our data from what we refer to as our very own and first of its kind of B2B co-op. And the co-op is a collection of 4,000 websites. And that includes vendors, you know, analyst firms, content syndication businesses, large publishers like Forbes and the Wall Street Journal, down to agency and technology provider sites. And even places like you mentioned, law.com, right? We're really trying to span, you know, across various verticals and industries to make sure that we're kind of capturing signals that kind of range across a wide variety of places, you know, law being a really good one where we want to make sure that if a law company, for instance, is interested in potential prospects that are doing research on a solution that they provide, we have sites in which those types of, you know, prospects would go to do their research, right? We're trying to get all of those people into our co-op, all those companies rather. So pretty much any place where brands that, you know, law firms would want to sell to, where they go to do product or service research. The unique thing about Bambora specifically is that we're actually partners with these sites. So companies or publishers, rather, like Forbes and the Wall Street Journal, we have one-to-one papered relationships with them. And in having that type of a relationship with those types of publishers, it actually allows us to put a proprietary pixel on their web properties, right? And that's how we're monitoring these signals. You know, it's not a secret. You can actually just, you know, using a third-party ad blocker, go to a site like Forbes and you can see the Bambora pixel living right there, right? And it's all consensual. We like to think of it as a sustainable way to collect data. We're not doing anything kind of shady behind the scenes. It's all kind of very transparent. And then the last point I think I would make kind of on this is that 70% of the contributors to the co-op, so 70% of those 4,000 websites that make up our co-op, are actually exclusive with us, right? And what I mean by that is they themselves cannot actually provide intent to any other provider in the market.
So let's take an example and just confirm for me that this is exactly the way it would work. So let's say I'm a big law firm and I have a practice that focuses on privacy law, right? And I want to find companies, maybe companies that are a specific industry or a specific size. And I want to find companies that are interested or are, you know, are doing research, reading, you know, activities around data privacy. So the way that Bambora would work basically is across the network of sites you work with, you would identify which companies have shown a significant interest in data privacy over a period of several days or several weeks. Is that correct?
That is correct. That's actually a really good segue into kind of like the second piece of what makes Bambora's intent unique, right? So that first part was really where our data comes from, right? Bambora, in a very transparent fashion, can tell you the types of sites that the activity or the signals we're monitoring, where they're coming from. Because again, we have those relationships with all of the sites in which we collect the data from. And then the second piece of that is, again, kind of funneling all of those insights into meaningful signals, right, for a company to be able to use. And the way that we do that, right, and this is just a different way of answering your question. The way that we do that is through what we refer to as our topic engine model, right? So we have over 8,500 B2B specific topics. And I think one of the words that you used just a second ago in your question was around data privacy, right? So we actually have data privacy as an actual topic, right? And this is the way that we're actually, again, kind of exposing, you know, those buying signals for people, right? Because most of the time, the place where Bambora is collecting data, the B2B co-op, companies aren't just roaming around, you know, with no purpose. They're actually researching specific concepts and terms, right? One example of that would be data privacy. And the way that we're able to kind of streamline that and capture that information so that it is meaningful is through, again, that topic engine model. So, you know, using data privacy as an example, I think that we can both agree that on the B2B web, right, where Bambora is monitoring research, there's easily hundreds, if not thousands, of pieces of content related to, you know, the topic of data privacy. So if you're a company that sells a data privacy type solution, understanding what companies are doing research on content related to that topic would probably be very useful. Is that a fair assumption?
Absolutely.
So to ensure that you can do that effectively, what Bombora has done is we've gone out and found anywhere from 90 to 100 pieces of rich content that actually has to do with data privacy. And then we trained our natural language process engine, right? This is kind of the methodology, kind of under the hood stuff that I was talking about. We've trained it how to understand content as it relates to the topic of data privacy. So now, and this is like a really long-winded way of answering your question, but now, anytime a company interacts with an article, for instance, that covers this kind of newly minted topic of data privacy, Bombora sees that signal, and we understand that it should be categorized as a company researching content around the topic of data privacy, right? So we actually can understand that topic. And then the last thing you touched on, right? You said something along the lines of against how much they normally care about, you know, content related to data privacy. This is kind of where we shine, right? So instead of just surfacing every single signal for you, right, of any company doing any type of research on the topic of data privacy, which we can do, we're looking at all of it, right? We don't actually surface every signal for you. And this is where the intent piece comes in. We only surface the relevant signals that you want to be interested in, right? And the way that we do that is through our product company search, right? So we actually form a baseline of consumption for every company that we are monitoring across the co-op. So across that big network of publisher websites that we have, we see over 4 million unique companies doing research across it, right? And for every single one of them, we understand how much they typically care about a topic like data privacy, right? And we establish what we refer to as a historical baseline. When we surface a signal for you, we're only doing it when they go, from a research perspective, when they go significantly above that baseline that we've established for them, right? When they're doing more than normal levels of research on content related to data privacy.
And that would obviously show, hey, you know, if you have above normal levels of research, there's obviously a huge interest in that particular topic within a particular company, which would then alert a law firm or a company to say, hey, this particular group of users from this particular company are doing a lot of research around data privacy. Now would be a good time to try to target them and contact them to let them know about our data privacy services that we provide, correct?
Absolutely. And that's really just the tip of the spear because, again, you know, most people when they're using our data, they're using multiple topics. They're not just using one topic. So applying the exact same kind of process you just outlined right there, if you're selling a data privacy type service, well, you'd want to reach out to a company showing, you know, higher than normal levels of interest on a topic like data privacy. That signal essentially that we're surfacing for you becomes even stronger and more relevant when you tie it together with additional topics that kind of correlate with what your company offers. So if data privacy is one factor or one component of what your, you know, your company offers as a solution, and then there's a few additional ones as well. And we have topics on those additional products or services. And then you can see companies showing intent simultaneously on multiple topics that correlate with what you offer. I mean, that's like a massive indicator that there's, you know, broad, not broad, but specific research going on around something that you offer, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's so powerful. And then I think what's even more powerful with your technology is I can take a set of companies, let's say I've identified, you know, these types of companies that are in this particular industry or are of this particular size based upon, you know, revenue or number of employees. And I can actually either upload that list of companies to your platform and say, okay, Ryan, tell me out of these 1,000 companies, tell me which ones are interested or are showing intent around data privacy or cybersecurity or any related topic so that then I can create a campaign targeting only those companies within these 1,000 initial companies that are actually, you know, very interested in this particular topic at this particular time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can 100% do that within our own platform. We partner with a lot of other companies to where the data can be, you know, exposed inside of their own like unique value propositions, you know, for digital advertising, sales prioritization, like email nurturing, all of those things. But I think the most important thing that you just hit on right there is actually a concept that we refer to as always on targeting, regardless of the use case, whether it's ad serving, just lead gen, anything like that. What Bombora does is this data refreshes on a weekly basis, right? So if you're uploading a list, for instance, in the scenario that you just described, and you only want to advertise or run a campaign to the companies on that list that are showing intent on your topics, you can actually set it up to where this is being refreshed on a weekly basis, right? So you can basically assure that at all times, you know, during the duration of the campaign that you're running, you're only advertising to companies that are showing intent on the topics that align with your product offerings, right? And it basically just kind of removes any possibility that you're essentially wasting dollars on the advertising, on marketing, whatever it is. And it just makes the entire kind of, you know, process of your outreach that much more efficient.
And so one of the things that I know a lot of law firms are doing these days, especially the larger B2B firms, is they're investing money into LinkedIn and paid LinkedIn campaigns. Talk a little bit about how Bambora integrates with LinkedIn and how you can take intent data and your search data to really not just target effectively, but continuously target effectively over the course of time.
Yeah, so we have a unique native integration to LinkedIn that actually stems from our own platform. And again, just using that example, the example you gave is a really good one, right? Where, hey, I have this list of organizations that I want to advertise to, and I want to do it on LinkedIn. And I want to make sure, obviously, that the messaging is getting through to the ones that actually are in market for what I'm offering today. Well, you can take that list, you can upload it inside of Bambora. You can pick out your topics, the ones that are going to, again, align with your products and services, or potentially the ones that are going to align with the messaging that you're going to kind of put out there during your, you know, your LinkedIn campaign, things that kind of exist within your creative, you know, the possibilities, there's a lot of them. But essentially, you then process the list inside of our platform. It will, you know, let's say the list has 1,000 companies on it. It's going to reduce it down to maybe 300 companies this week that are showing intent on your topics. And then you just connect it directly to your matched audience account inside of LinkedIn. And then you can leave our platform. You just go to LinkedIn. You can see it populate there with the total number of companies that meet those requirements. And then you can layer on additional LinkedIn personas, you know, firmographic data for job titles, stuff like that. And then you just run it. And the whole thing refreshes on the back end to where you don't really have to do anything. You just kind of like set it and forget it. And then if you're running that campaign for 3 weeks, your list of 1,000 accounts, you're only going to be targeting or advertising to the subset that are showing intent that specific week, right? So while the first week, maybe it's 300, maybe the next week it's 400. And, you know, maybe 50 companies that made up the first week's 300, the next week they're not showing intent anymore. Those will automatically be pulled out of your campaign. And, you know, another new 50 will be introduced, right? It's again, that kind of always on mentality that we really preach for the kind of top of funnel advertising kind of use case.
I love that because that way, as you said, you're able to really make sure that you're not wasting money. And, you know, let's say a company may not be interested in data privacy this week, but next week, all of a sudden, they've had an announcement, you know, that there's a big data privacy initiative or they have a data breach or something like that. So, you know, they can go from 1 week not being interested to the following week being extremely interested and relevant. And so with your integration with LinkedIn, you're able to target those people when they are most interested, right?
Exactly. I mean, it takes the guesswork out of it, right? Instead of just kind of like, you know, again, that's why I like to think of it as kind of like the doubling down of ABM, right? So before ABM, people were just essentially guessing who was going to buy from them and just kind of like throwing darts at a board in like a dark room. Then ABM came along and now you could actually turn the lights on and you could see the dartboard, right? As you were kind of throwing it and intent is just like one more layer deep of that concept where it's like, okay, we know who's going to buy from us, but they don't want to buy from us today. So let's just only focus all of our efforts on the companies that want to buy something today, or rather need something today, right? And that just ties back to the, you know, we really preach like sustainable marketing. So just, you know, I think we can all agree that on a daily basis, I don't know about you, but I get spammed so many times with so many emails from
all
so many
day,
people
all
trying,
day.
trying to sell me something that I don't want. And half yep. the time, to be honest with you, when I respond to them, I actually respond to them with our value proposition saying, hey man, you know, respect what you're doing, respect the outreach, but like, you know, your time could be spent so much more efficiently if you were actually using something like intent. And like sometimes if I have time during the day, I'll take a little time, I'll do some research on their own company that's reaching out to me. And I'll say, hey, you know, I'll kind of walk them through how they could do it a little bit smarter, you know, and I mean, that's just really what it comes down to, right? You know, sustainable marketing, not spamming people, reaching them at the right time with the right message. And the way that people are able to do that more efficiently is with intent.
So how are people able to measure whether or not intent data is working for them? What are some ways that your customers or clients measure that?
That's a really good question. And that's one that, you know, we ourselves are continually, I think, trying to kind of answer. figure out more efficient ways to do it, because it is definitely changing. And it's a little nuanced, right? Because each company, specifically like in legal, right, probably measures things and categorizes wins versus losses differently than, you know, somebody in the technology space offering different solutions. But what I would say is that the first thing you want to do is kind of establish where you want to focus your intent efforts on, right? Whether it be for, you know, sales, whether it be for marketing. And then once you kind of like hone in on a specific use case that you want to apply it to, we can kind of just stick with the advertising one we've been talking about here, you know, the LinkedIn example. I think A/B and testing is really important. You know, when I started out Bombora initially, as I kind of mentioned at the beginning of the call, I was doing a lot of on the advertising side of the house for Bombora. And a lot of ways that I saw agencies measuring whether or not something was working was kind of doing this A/B test, right? Where you have, you know, a list of customers, two lists, right? The A and the B. And the first one you run on LinkedIn actually without using intent at all. You just advertise to them like you normally would. And then the other list, you actually advertise to only the companies that are showing intent, you know, and then you just use, you know, traditional metrics like CPM, you know, impressions, clicks, things like that. And then you should very clearly be able to see, you know, whether or not the A is working or the B is working. I think that's a really simple way to do it. If you want to take a different use case, you go down to like, you know, sales prioritization. You have a team of, you know, SDRs reaching out to potential clients looking to, you know, invest in your solution. Again, same exact thing. You want to take a list of accounts that you're not applying intent to. It's just kind of any list. Maybe it's within your ABM universe, and just have, you know, the SDR reach out to all of them. And then you have another list, same exact thing, have a different SDR reach out to only the accounts that are showing intent on topics relevant to your solutions. And you just, you see what the win rate looks like, how much faster you can actually convert, you know, leads into actual sales, things like that.
Well, Ryan, unfortunately, we've run out of time. I think you and I can speak about this for a couple of other hours or so. But before I let you go, what advice would you have to our listeners, especially those that are, you know, marketing professionals at law firms that, you know, are interested in trying intent data but haven't really done it? What would you recommend for them to get started?
Well, two things. Number one, I got to plug Bombora a little bit. The first thing I'd say is at Bombora specifically, right, the topics that I kind of mentioned, the thing that's kind of funneling those signals from, you know, the place where we're getting the data, the co-op, and making it actionable for you to be able to use. We have over 500 specific legal topics. So from a coverage standpoint, we can really help out anybody interested in finding out what other companies are doing research on relevant to legal-based solutions. So that's the first thing I would say. And then the second thing I would say is, you know, there's a large misconception in the market that all intent is created equally, both in how it's collected and also in how it is put to use. So this isn't true, right? And given this, with the high dollar and effort costs associated with adopting and implementing an intent strategy, right? I mean, it takes a lot of human cost and a lot of money to kind of invest in something like this. It's really, really important that proper due diligence around data collection and privacy kind of is at the forefront in making those types of decisions or adopting an intent making process. And with that in mind, I think it's really important that your listeners kind of understand the types of questions they should be asking when evaluating intent vendors. And I'll just leave them with three questions that they should really dig into again when kind of going on this journey and deciding who should be their intent provider. And the first one would be, does the vendor that you're evaluating, do they have access to the relevant B2B research sources, right? So I described Bombora, how we get our data, right? We're partners. It's papered relationships. They know we're collecting the data. It's all very ethical. It's CCPA compliant. It's GDPR compliant, all of those things, right? And can they show them to you, right? Like I've been on a lot of calls with you, Guy, and I can go to Forbes's website and physically show you the Bombora pixel living there, right? That is so, so important because so many times I've seen people invest in an intent solution only to find out later down the road that it's not necessarily as compliant as they thought. And then you have to kind of rip out the entire thing and start over, right? That's very costly. The second question would be, does the vendor have permission again from these sources and can they prove it? And then the final question that I would ask in my evaluation would be, after the vendor has explained to you where their data comes from, could you then explain it to your boss? Bombora, it's very simple. You know, we have the co-op, it's these papered relationships. Over 70% of the contributors to the co-op are exclusive to Bombora. You can yourself download a third party like ad blocker like Ghostry, and you can go to a website. And if you see the Bombora pixel living there, you know that they're in the co-op. It's just very transparent.
I love it. Well, thank you, Ryan. That was really, really great advice. And for our listeners, if you want to learn more about Bombora, we're going to put the link to Bombora on the show notes for this episode. We'll also have a link to Ryan's LinkedIn profile as well, if you want to get in touch with Ryan. We did do a webinar where Ryan was a participant around ABM, and we actually showed how Bambora and some of the technology associated with it works. So if you're interested, go to the Good to Be Social website and search our webinars for ABM. If you enjoyed today's episode, please go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. You can subscribe there. Make sure you don't miss any future episodes. And you can also check out some of our past episodes. Ryan, thank you again for your time. It's been great having you. And I'm sure we'll have you back into the future as we start to get a little more sophisticated. And we'll love to have you back on and talk more about intent, targeting, and ABM.
That's awesome, Guy. Thanks again for having me. And to everybody that's listening, I really hope you reach out. If you're going to do ABM, it makes no sense to also not adopt intent. That's my last plug. So thank you again.
Thank you. And I completely agree. All right. Thank you, everyone. Stay safe out there. Enjoy the weekend. And we'll see you next week. Thank you.